Hey, welcome to Know Yourself. This is Dan Udell, and I'm really glad to sort of be doing a solo episode today. It's quite nice. I haven't done one of these for a little while where it's just been, you know, me in the car, which is where I am now. I'm actually outside Waitrose in Droitwich, and I'm just chopping it up like I used to, just kind of on the go. And I've had a couple of people sort of get in touch about podcast ideas, things they'd like to hear on the show. So here I am. And I want to start off by telling a little bit of a story. So it might be your first time listening. You might not have heard some of my earlier stuff. So I will tell this. Sorry if you're hearing it twice, if you've heard it before, but please bear with me. So when I was 16, it was the summer of 2009, and I was walking through Vines Park in Droitwich, where I live, and I was with a girl. I think I was trying to chat her up, sort of go out with her, that sort of thing, and we were walking alongside the canal. We were following it through the park, and it meets a bridge. Now, before we got to the bridge, the girl that I was with, some kids had been kind of hurling abuse at the girl, and I think me as well. I wasn't really paying attention because I was such a kind of happy-go-lucky guy and like quite confident as well. I just didn't really think like anything of it. It just really didn't kind of bother me in a way. Just kind of ignore it is what I told her, and we carried on. I wasn't even sure if it was at us, like part of me, I think, as well. So we just kind of like carried on walking, and like I say, we got to this bridge where the canal kind of meets like a pedestrian path, like from a residential area. So the park and the residential area meet, which is why the bridge is there. And the kind of the kids that had been hurling abuse were kind of there waiting. They were there waiting, and one of them came forward to me and said, you know, he basically wanted to fight me. And I was like, what? I couldn't really believe what was going on. And I said, look, I'm not really interested in having a fight. And as I turned to walk away, I felt this fist hit my cheek, and I fell to the floor, as you do when you've been clocked on the side of the face, with like a right hook. And then what happened after that was a load of kicks and a load of punches up against the side of a car. And some of my clothes were torn, and I think I heard one of the kids say, like, you know, look, we've got to get out of here, you know, we've been here too long, sort of thing. So everyone kind of scarpered off, and I was on the floor up against this car, and I kind of picked myself up and dusted myself down, and I ran as fast as I could until I got home. And when I got home, I told my mum straight away, you know, look, I've just been like punched really like fucking hard in the face, like really hurts, like I think I've just been beaten up, because like, you know, stuff's happened to me before, but like I was 16, I was a bit older, and you know, just wasn't really sure what had just gone on. And this adrenaline was like pumping through me as well, and I just kind of felt a little bit numb after the adrenaline had worn off. I just didn't understand what had happened, and I think, to be honest, I couldn't really cope with it. I just kind of went numb and almost emotionless, and I didn't really want to see anyone. You know, I spent a lot of time in my room, and yeah, that was it. So the next day, I came downstairs, and you know, I think some mates wanted me to go somewhere, and I was really afraid of going back outside because of what had happened, naturally. And I was like, look, I don't really want to go, you know, that sort of thing. And my family were like, no, you know, you should go out. You should sort of, you know, that sort of logic of like exposure therapy, you know, you should go and do the thing that scares you the most, you know, get back into it and show that thing that you're not afraid of it, you know, show those people that what they did to you, like it didn't, doesn't matter. It's not going to impact the way you live your life and all that sort of stuff. So eventually, begrudgingly, I agreed and I decided to go fishing with my stepdad at the time. And we went fishing in Vines Park and we'd set up our rods and we had bait and we were going to fish there for the next couple of hours. Great. So we're fishing and I think we're a couple of hours in and I see the guy who literally kicks the shit out of me the day before walk past and we make eye contact and I remember a couple of things that happened in that moment. Absolute sheer terror like took over me, like emotionally, like sheer terror took over. I remember feeling like I was rooted to the spot, almost like paralyzed. I just felt like I couldn't, you know, move, do anything. It actually felt like my legs were like rooted like a tree to the spot and I couldn't move. My hands went from bone dry to like soaking wet with sweat in what felt like seconds. The veins in my arms felt like they had electricity running through them, like in my forearms. Just a real like pulse of like energy. Almost like uncomfortable though. And in my stomach it felt like, and in my chest it felt like there was like this heat, this like lava, almost like poison. And I couldn't really do anything about it. It was like, it was, what really took over was like fight or flight. I felt like I had to get out of that situation like as quick as possible, but I also couldn't because the thing that I was afraid of was right in front of me, and the only thing the only other way out of that situation was in the canal, and I sure as hell wasn't going in there. So therefore I was planted to the spot, and I'm not sure really how I didn't black out, because I was sort of almost like going through not breathing at all to breathing really fast and rapidly. And I remember as soon as he had walked off, I was like, I've got to go. Like, I've got to get out of here. Like, I just had to be out of that triggering situation. Now, that was the first time I'd ever really experienced what you might call like an anxiety attack or like symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. And I continue to experience those symptoms today, to somewhat lesser in degrees because I've had therapy and I've, you know, been taught like techniques on how to manage, you know, how to manage the symptoms and what's happening for me emotionally. And I'm doing this episode because someone reached out and said it'd be really good if you did an episode on panic attacks. And I said, well, I don't really know that much about panic attacks. I said, I don't want to like talk about something that isn't, you know, I only like talking about things I either know about through my training, or I've actually experienced myself, you know, or I know of through other people, because I don't want to just spew random crap. And she said to me, well, you know, here's what a panic attack is. And it was remarkably similar, if not identical to what I'd experienced. So I was like, oh, great. Well, yeah, I'm happy to talk about it then. So that's the reason I told you that story. You know, what I experienced on that day was, you know, a physical, mental, and emotional attack, you know, towards a trigger. You know, that's what happened. I was triggered. And often in CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy, the therapist will ask you, you know, if you go there about a phobia, if you go there about like OCD or PTSD, they'll often ask, one of the first things they'll ask you is, what was the trigger? What was the initial cause, you know, for you to experience that trauma or that bad thing? Or, you know, what's the trigger of a particular behavior? They'll really want to understand that first. So, you know, for me, my trigger is like violence, confrontation, perceived threat. And I use the language of like perceived threat because, like, my anxiety and PTSD is kind of warps my reality sometimes into thinking that I'm in a dangerous situation or I'm under threat, when that's not necessarily true. So that's why I say perceived threat, because there's perceived threat and actual threat. You know, actual threat is being in a room and there's a fight taking place, because you might get caught up in that. Or actual threat is literally someone telling you, you know, I want to harm you in some way. Or there being, you know, something in the air. Like, you know, you get that feeling when there's, like, someone wants to, like, antagonize or, like, stir trouble in some way. And even, like, verbally, like, or emotionally, you know, you can be attacked, like, verbally and emotionally as well. So, really what I try and think about now when I'm experiencing these symptoms, you know, an attack of sorts, it's really difficult because the physical symptoms can be really alarming and they almost like exacerbate what's going on in your head, like the dialogue. I mean, I know for me, my head just runs like a million miles an hour when it's happening, you know, like, part of me thinks I'm dying because my heart's pumping so hard and fast. Part of me is also focusing on what the trigger is, you know, going over it and over it in my head, almost like amplifying it, you know. So for me, the self-talk that I have in my head when I'm kind of experiencing the symptoms of anxiety is, the self-talk is, oh, they're out to get me, they want to hurt me, you know. So I try and examine that language and understand and assess the threat to reality. So it's kind of like almost like categorizing it out. So understanding you've got your physical symptoms, the self-talk that's going to be going on in your head, and then the particular emotion that is going to be stirred up as well. What I try and think about is, and this is for my particular symptoms, is I try and, like I say, assess what the reality of the situation actually is. So for me, it's all about threat and violence and confrontation. So for me, a really big issue was getting on trains and public transport. So what I try and think about is, when I'm on that bus or train, I'm on a particular journey. I'm going somewhere, and I look at everyone else that is on the, you know, bus, train, airplane, and I think they're on a journey too. So I put it into context, right? You know, I'm going somewhere, I'm traveling somewhere. All of these people do too. You know, people go out every day and they travel, they commute, they go to see friends, they go on holiday, that sort of thing. I'm no different. And it's almost accepting that you're not different, if that makes sense. You're not different. You're just going about your day like everyone else. And almost as well, that nobody cares about you. Nobody cares in the sense that they just want to head down or put their headphones in, go, you know, take a look at their laptop or speak with a friend or read a book. You know, they're interested in everything else but you. So it's about focusing on the right thing. So, for example, if you've got a trigger, you know, you might have a trigger of lots of people in, like lots of people in a large space. It might be best for you to focus on the fact that, you know, okay, I'm not comfortable with all these people in this space, but people walk through crowds every day and they're fine. You know, I'm not special. I'm just making my way through this crowd. It's not comfortable at the moment, but I will get through it and I'll get to the other side. It's almost like accepting the uncomfortableness of it as well. So, I mean, I get on trains and buses and planes. Well, especially planes now, I never used to before. But I get on them now and I try and almost understand that, yeah, it's definitely not comfortable. You know, I still don't enjoy it, but I'm going through this process. So those are some of the things I kind of think of. And, you know, I try and focus as well. So the reason I speak about like putting headphones in is I'll put my headphones in and I listen to a podcast. So I try and take myself out of that environment almost, or make that, mold that environment to make it more comfortable for me. So for me, it was more comfortable to put my headphones in because it meant that people wouldn't potentially talk to me and I could be sort of in my own little bubble. So these are kind of like more things that I'm talking about to maybe prevent a panic attack or like an anxiety attack. But what about when it's happening? So I try and think about breathing, like really try and slow that down. That was one of the tips that I learned from therapy. Like, you know, it's really about those like, you know, deep breaths, because when you're breathing really fast, like that's getting your heart rate going. That's getting the adrenaline like pumping around your body. So it's really like slowing down the breathing, you know, getting that back to like a normal pace. And, you know, I try and avoid coffee, for example, if I know I'm going to travel on a train. So if you know, like almost like plan your day a little bit, if you know you're going to encounter a trigger at some point, I would maybe avoid coffee around the time. You know, I mean, I actually get like a little bit jittery from like antihistamines as well. So maybe that as well. Avoid, you know, taking antihistamines around the time that you might get triggered. So like if you've got like a real like trigger around like public speaking and you know you've got a big presentation at work, like my advice would be like really avoid taking caffeine, because it kind of gets you jittery and on edge already anyway, and you know that with the anxiety or the symptoms that you're feeling, it just kind of like acts as an amplifier. So those would be the things I would suggest. Another thing is, I mean, we all hear it now, it's about like mindfulness, and it's the best way I can describe it is sometimes I experience like a sort of fog or disassociation from reality, and the way that manifests itself is I'm almost like out of my own body in a way. I'm kind of like just going through the motions. I'm on autopilot. I'm not really in control. It's just kind of happening. And I think it's because sometimes, you know, because of the sort of trauma that I've been through, my brain kind of goes like, you know, I need to protect you from this for a little while. So I'm going to take over, you know, you're just going to like switch off for now. And the way I always get myself back when I'm feeling that is I remind myself of where I am. So like I was at my desk when it was happening, and it literally like it happened today. And it doesn't happen, you know, it happens like every like 2 or 3 weeks. Sometimes I can go months without experiencing it. And I literally sat at my desk and I was like, right, I'm at work. That's in Bromsgrove. I'm sat at my desk. The time, you know, it was like 2 o'clock when it was happening. It's 2 o'clock. You know, my name's Dan. Like, I really try and like root myself in the moment and try and remind myself of where I am and what I'm doing. And I think that same advice can go for when you're having an attack. you know, it's to take yourself out of that, like, out of control thinking where it's like, oh, you know, I'm under threat, I'm under attack, oh, this is terrible, I feel like I'm dying. You know, I really try and root myself in the moment and think like, okay, this sucks, I don't like it, but, you know, I'm going here and I need to get that done, that's why I'm doing this. You know, I try and really pull myself back into the moment. And like I say, people refer that to as like mindfulness, and, you know, it pulls yourself into what's happening in front of you right now, as opposed to the kind of environment or, you know, twisted reality that we sometimes create in our heads. So that's another tip as well. And I think with these things combined, so, you know, to summarize, the breathing, you know, really deep breathing, remembering that, you know, like I say, remembering the trigger as well and being aware of the trigger and kind of planning that into your day as best as possible. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just going to happen. You know, I've walked into like bars and like pubs, for example, and there's just stuff going on. You know, that's just life. I can't control that. There's like something going on. You know, sometimes it's just best to like take yourself out of that situation if, you know, if you feel as though you're not going to be able to manage it, and not be too hard on yourself, because, you know, it's like I say, a physical, mental and emotional reaction. And, you know, often when we pull ourselves out of those situations, there's kind of like a guilt that's like associated with that. Like, I used to feel really guilty when I'd leave like a party or like leave a shopping trip like early, because like I just had to get home. And you know, I'd recommend, you know, calling someone as well, speaking to someone who knows about what's going on with you. You know, we're not always in that sort of situation. I mean, I didn't share what was going on with me at all until I'd kind of got a real handle on it. But these are just some other tips that I think would help. And yeah, I hope that kind of helps. It's something I feel really passionate about, because I felt quite paralyzed and almost like crippled by, you know, what would happen to me, you know, when I was having an attack. So yeah, I just hope this information helps. And I know a lot of the context is around me and, you know, my story. Some of it might not make sense, or you might not be able to empathize, and I completely understand that, but I really do hope it helps. And yeah, I hope you've enjoyed the episode as well. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I need to tell you about social media links and stuff. So, if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at KnowYourselfPod. I changed my Twitter handle finally, because I'd had the same one for a little while and I wanted to change it to sort of line up with the podcast. So, it's at KnowYourselfPod. That's P-O-D. And then you can find me on Instagram as well, at DUDALE92. That's U-D-A-L-E 92. You can ask me any more questions or give me feedback. You know, I really like hearing if people like the episodes or not. Helps me sort of create more content that's in line with what people want to hear and listen to. And yeah, like I say, I really appreciate you listening to the episode. Thank you very much. Until next time, this has been Know Yourself with Dan Udell. Peace out.